The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Hey, good girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to My Brother, My Brother, Man and
I. On top of the morning to ya.
He said he had some in the chamber. I did not. Wowzers. Yikes. Let me try again.
Okay.
Hello, everyone, and welcome.
I'm done by the morning, Julia.
He doesn't know any other ones. That's the only one that he knows.
I can't
wait. Okay, wait,
one.
Try one more time. One more time. One more
okay.
Time.
Hello, everybody.
I'm done by the morning, Julia.
I think we nailed it on that. Use take three.
Yeah, got it in
whatever
three.
Take you want to, whatever old take you want to use.
Three takes, slightly racist McElroy over
I here. Also have something lined up about Aaron Go Brawless.
Okay.
But we can talk more about that. I'll work it in.
Okay. This is an advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy. Justin O'McElroy.
There it is. And I'm your middlest brother, Travis O'McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy. I don't want to.
That became Italian. I'm sorry, everybody.
I know the first rule of comedy is to say yes and. I'm saying no, bye. No, and then goodbye to this whole enterprise.
No, but I'm leaving.
This is the first St. Patrick's Day. Like, it used to be a thing for me in Huntington, and then less of a thing for me in Cincinnati, and then every year that passed, like, it became less of a thing. This year I'm just like, oh, I just don't want to deal with it.
You know what? What really killed me is, like, yesterday everybody was out for St. Patrick's Day, and like, by yesterday we're recording Sunday, so I mean Saturday. Like, Saturday all the bars were packed, and it's like, hey dog, it's not St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, what are these people doing? It's Saturday and they're out drinking.
Well, no, it's not that, but
where,
like,
do these creeps get off? Creep watch.
I'm just saying, like, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, maybe that's not a good excuse.
This is a my brother made creep alert. Some people are in bars on Saturdays on the day before St. Patrick's Day, which is a Sunday, because where do they get off?
Well, they are wearing those Jamiroquai, like, you know, green and white hats with, like, a shamrock on them. And I hate them. I want to kill them.
You want to kill Jamiroquai?
No, I want to kill anyone that impersonates Jamiroquai. There can be only one.
How does anyone still harbor any sort of emotions whatsoever towards Jamiroquai?
There is nothing you can say to Jamiroquai that he has not heard from the man who lives in his hat.
There is one reference to Jamiroquai allowed, and that is if you were in some kind of room with a moving floor. And then you can say, oh, this is like that Jamiroquai video. And then
you
the
can't
person
say Jamiroquai hat. Do you have to say Cat in the Hat hat?
Yeah, because I think of all the things that left a cultural mark on our culture, I think Jamiroquai maybe ranks in maybe a little bit lower than Dr.
You're
Seuss.
Saying Jamiroquai. I think it's Jamiroquai.
Jamiroquai is the plural.
From the Latin, Jamiroquuses.
It's Jamiroquus.
Meaning to Jameer.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Do we want to do advice or just Jamiroquai this
time? Yeah, just Jamiroquai material.
That's great.
Listen, March 19th, these all expire, so. I've just been offered a job transplanting dead bodies to morgues and mortuaries. This means I will be cleaning up dead bodies from crime scenes, car wrecks, hospitals, etc. The problem is, how do I tell my family members without them freaking out?
How do you tell your favorite podcast without them freaking out?
Because well, he doesn't know that because he done did it wrong.
Yeah.
Okay,
go ahead and finish it.
Hold on. How do I ease them into the idea that this is an okay thing for me to do? That's from Bring Out Your Dead in Denver.
Well, you should probably start off by telling them who you're employed by and not just saying, I have a job moving dead bodies.
Yeah, like, how about this? Let me hit you with this. I work for the city.
Mm-hmm.
That is fine.
And I specialize in disposal.
I make dead bodies disappear.
Oops, yeah. Nope. See, that's another thing.
I'm a man with a particular set of skills.
I just bought a pig farm.
You ever see that movie Pulp Fiction? You remember that guy, the wolf? Mm-hmm. That's like me, except state-sponsored.
I'm the man you call when you have no other options. I'm a fixer, you might say.
I'm a fixer.
I'm a fixer for the city.
Here's the thing. Your family has every right to be freaked out, because when the zombie apocalypse happens, you are first to go.
Why?
They're
going to
come
that?
Back for him?
You. No, I'm saying, like, have you never seen, like, you in touch movies?
You touched my dinkus while I was dead. I remember it. That was an accident.
In movies, there's always that scene where, like, the dude gets out of, like, the ambulance or something, and like, oh, he's dead. And then, like, the sheet, like, rises up.
Because he's got boner.
Kills him.
Oh.
He's got boner.
We watched the wrong movie. I watched Porky's 4 when the lead character from Porky's 3 dies.
I think you mean Porky's 4, Night of the Living Porkies.
Mm-hmm. Porky. When Porky dies. So, I think, you know what? I have to tell you, my friend, you have absolutely nothing to be embarrassed of.
No.
We are so lucky as a society that there are weirdos like you who are strong enough to do this.
Thank God there are freakos like you.
Thank
freako.
God they're weird
weird beards like you out there just doing it.
Just get off on this kind of thing and love it. Just love it.
You love dead bodies, you freako.
Just love it. You weird guy.
Just let your
hero.
Freak flag fly.
I think you can have this job. You got to take this job. It's fucking hard out there, you guys.
Yeah, how about this? Just say to your parents, like, hey, in this economy, I'm employed.
Yeah,
and when they're, like, doing what? Just go, huh? What? Yeah, no, totally employed.
Now.
Literally anybody gives you a hard time about it, podcasts included, the only response is, do you want to do it? Because someone is going to do this.
True.
Yeah, and they're going to fucking rake in the cash while you're working at Arby's. And you'll still be moving dead bodies around, but it'll be... cows, I guess.
But you
mean people that had a Jamocha shake on the floor just dead.
There's somebody who works at Arby's whose only job is to move the dead people who died from the Arby's outside.
It is a full time year round.
I'm a fixer for Arby's is my job.
The mozzarella sticks are people.
I think though. That anytime you meet somebody,
it's good mood food, guys. It's good mood food because you get to meet your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Who wouldn't that put into a good mood?
If you meet anybody or you go on a first date, you gotta run the screen pass on them until like they know you well enough that mm-hmm. when you tell them that you touch dead bodies for a living, they don't just assume you're some sort of like there's some sort of Wednesday Addams scenario.
Yeah, I think you could also start off just by saying like you start off saying work for the city. And then you work for a morgue, and then you work in transportation for the morgue, and then what you actually do, because if you start off with, oh, I roll up in my hubby van and load some dead bodies up in it, they're just going to picture like a whistling dude slinging bodies over his shoulder.
I think morgue step two is I think you're jumping several guns that you can really squeeze in there to prolong the magic. I think
you could say, like, I work for the city, and then say, I work for a city in which people die.
Okay, but even that, I would say, like, I work for the city, and they say, doing what? And you would say shipment, and they would say, of what? And you would say materials, and they would say, what kind of materials? And you would say organic materials?
Formerly organic.
They would say animals, and you say, nope, keep guessing. And they say, this is the worst game and date I've ever been on.
By then, the dessert's there. Yeah. You're scot-free. Just hope she loves mystery.
If you want to find out the answer, see you for round two.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe you get in a car wreck on the way home, and then I will see you also there also.
I think there's a great opportunity here. If you are actually okay with this job, and God bless you for being so, I think it would be really fun to just pretend all the time that you're horrified. Because it's a completely human response. But can you imagine the dude, like,
go ahead and call the body truck, and you sell up like,
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
It's never been like this before. This is my first day.
This is somebody's ping-pong.
You would think they would train me or something.
It looks like my Nana.
Why did I have to drive my own car?
I drive a Toyota Corolla. I don't have any room for this corpse.
I have a two-door. I don't...
Someone cut off his legs. Does anyone have a leg axe? I need to put him in the trunk of the boot. If you're in Canada, I guess.
I think there are so many options. There's so many directions you could take that character. Oh, man. You could be like weird philosophical guy, like, oh, so young, so short. Like, he's 90. He's 90. He died fucking. He's 90 years old. I know. So beautiful. What a beautiful body. I've seen a lot of cadavers, but your peepum's cadaver is, like, fucking beautiful. Oh, it's a beautiful form, beautiful life.
You could be the guy that shows up and subtly hints at the fact that maybe someone should stake him. You should definitely stake the body. Gosh, anybody got any chopsticks or anything? A little final cleanup, if you know what I mean. You smell garlic? I smell garlic.
You could also just pick one up and go and just announce loudly, I'm recreating Weekend at Bernie's 2 tonight.
Get it? It's a Bernie. I'm going Bernie's.
I'm doing Bernie's, guys.
Or you could help out the detectives without them asking. Like, oh, this looks like... So it's like poison to me. Poison again. Like he is on the side of the road and his car is cut in half on a tree literally 200 feet away. Yep.
Natural causes.
Mm-hmm.
Naturally, he was poisoned. Well, man, I'm so glad that people do this.
Right?
And there aren't just dead bodies everywhere?
This is everywhere.
I think that's how probably America rolled for like 50 years. And then eventually they're like, you know what, guys? I've been thinking.
Far. We should clean this up.
You know how we've been talking about job creation in this tough economy? I got a great idea. Let's move these fucking bodies everywhere.
You know what would be like the boldest move? Like the body movers went on strike. I guarantee you can have whatever you
whatever
want.
Oh my God.
If you were just like, hey, mayor, if you don't pay us an extra $5,000 a week, we're out. Yes, 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 whatever. Please don't make us touch dead people.
Please, we can't do this again with you. We can't touch dead people, please.
Imagine going to that union meeting. I would welcome not
everyone
be able
to the meeting of the party movers.
My name is Morpheus. My name is also Morpheus.
Wait, are we all Morpheus? Damn it, guys. I said we could have 10 Morpheuses tops.
Listen, I know it's inconvenient with the pipe organ being out of service. I brought an MP3 player and some speakers. Morpheus, please set it up for me.
Morpheus 6? No, Morpheus 6.
Morpheus
yes,
6,
you.
He's good with technology. He was the first one of us to have email.
You can reach me at deadguycarrier@hotmail.com.
My address is deadguycarrier13 because there's 12 of you guys in the union. My last request is please refer to everybody as this fat piece of shit. Hold on, let me get this fat piece of shit in the truck.
That's this is a 6-year-old girl.
This is a 6-year-old girl.
That's awful.
Interesting litmus test between Griffin and I. For me, she was an 8-year-old girl. Griffin's a little darker today. Went 6-year-old girl.
Well, that's just me. You guys want a Yahoo?
Yes.
Yeah.
This Yahoo was sent in by who else? Ira Ray.
Are you Ira Ray?
Who wants to know? I never know when you're setting up for the assist or if you're... Just putting in dramatic pause.
The number one thing people tweet about our show these days is not understanding the reference.
Which
it's
is
really Jimmy Ray, guys. Just Google Jimmy Ray. That's it.
Jimmy Ray.
Google it.
It's asked by Yahoo Answers user White and Nerdy, who asks, how can I overcome my strange sexual attraction to my high school mascot? My high school mascot is a Mustang, as in a horse. And I can't stop feeling sexually attracted to the person in the costume at all the games. It's beyond embarrassing since I'm one of the cheerleaders. What are some ways to get over this strange attraction? I'd love to hear from others who have had this same problem and what they've done to get over it. Thanks, everyone.
Okay, so let me tell you what I did. You gotta, You gotta just get it out of your system.
Yeah,
you
know what I mean? Get to the time. Enough previews. Time for the main attraction.
Just lock yourself and this poor, poor person inside of this mascot costume in a hotel room for a weekend, and just work it out
and run out of fluid. There are so many.
Till you're dehydrated.
I need so much more detail because it could be. Maybe this person has a horse thing. Maybe this person has a furry thing. Maybe this person just thinks the person inside the costume is sexy. Maybe they just have an objective sexual attraction towards disguises.
The one that really threw me off is the statement of, I am attracted to the person when they are in the costume.
Right. Maybe they just have an overabundance of school spirit that manifests as a chub.
Yes.
Okay.
Like, maybe
they got
like,
a spirit chub.
Hey, go Mustangs. We're just so proud of... Oh, fuck. Oh,
we've
man.
Got boners. Yes, we do. We've got boners. How about you? Wait. Is the person asking this question a guy or a girl? Does it matter?
I think it's a girl based on the avatar. Which is a cartoon girl. So probably...
And she's blue. She worships a tree.
It's hard to think about these things. It's hard for it's.
Do you mean for you?
For me,
it's difficult for me as a person.
It's hard knowing these things we know about people.
Let's go down the list. Okay, here are I can really, you know, when I don't have anything to say, like any advice, I just try and go back to my own experience. So, let's see. There in elementary school, there were the Miller Owls, which I guess is kind of a sexy animal.
So sexy.
They're
with their big wet eyes.
They have big. Moist
eyes.
And a wingspan that can really wrap around you.
Hey, if you guys saw an owl that had one of its eyes gouged out, would you fuck the socket? Now wait, hold on. You get $8.
Oh, yeah. Wait. And as a reward, or just that's what happens when you fuck an owl's eye?
He can also, two other facts. He can talk, and he wants it.
Okay, well, if those are, then yes, all day, every
is
day.
Is anyone watching? Where is this taking place?
in the privacy of my own home? Has the owl come to find me?
It's taking place in that citadel from the Hunger Games.
Oh, okay. Does everyone else want it, too?
Yeah, they all want $8 so that they can buy a healing paste. You need a healing balm. Okay, wait.
Okay.
You have a laceration on your penis, and inside every owl's eye socket, as we know, is a healing balm.
Yes.
You're in the Hunger Games. Uh-huh. Your penis has been lacerated by someone from District 11 with their fish hooks and what have you. And the owl is like, listen, I only have one eye. The other socket's all balm.
Uh-huh.
Also, let me sweeten the pot. $8.
Also, I'm totally down.
I am down with this.
Also, yes, I should have talk. You know, it will be consensual. Because, man, oh, man, I am hard up over here.
I love those District 12 boys. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the way you smell like coal or are malnourished. I'm a big fan of this right now. And sometimes Sydney listens to the show, and sometimes I'm like in the place where I can see her facial expressions.
Mm-hmm.
And
this is gonna be a good one.
I may have to go on vacation or something, a private vacation, just the J-Man.
I don't think I ever had a mascot that I found even remotely sexy. I had an owl. I had a blue streak, whatever the fuck that is.
Mm-hmm.
I had a Highlander, and I had a. A herd of bison, which I guess if there was one of them, yeah, I guess
maybe one's sexier than the other.
Yeah,
you know, you gotta pick off the sexiest. That's how it works. I think what's really got to be the worst moment is when you are like in middle school and stuff, and you're walking around with your friends, and one of them like says like, man, this may sound weird, but like Mrs. Smith is like the hottest teacher, and they're like, you know what? I agree. And then it's like, yeah, did you check out Jimmy's mom? Yeah, she's really hot. And then the other one's like, and I really kind of want to fuck the mascot.
Yeah, did you see Chompers out on that last game? Chompers the biting horse? Oh, man.
And that's the moment where you get to realize that you're weird.
Or,
like, you can pinpoint, and I don't mean that as, I don't mean that judgmentally from my point of view. I mean, like, up until that moment.
Who are we to say what's right and wrong, you know?
Right? But it's so easy for us to point fingers.
But that's what you're doing, I think.
You're doing exactly that.
I'm saying the people that judge this person were wrong.
So you're saying this was a learning, this is a lesson for the people who were like, I want to fuck my teacher. And they were, the other guy's like, I want to fuck the mascot because it's a beautiful horse. And they were mm-hmm. like, oh, you just made me think about things.
Uh-huh. You know what? Maybe I can see things from your point of view. Chompers is a beautiful, beautiful mascot.
Mm-hmm. Sinewy.
Uh-huh.
So sinewy. And look at the emotion. It's like a poem.
Let's not fucking discount the fact that this horse mascot might be doing some of the sexiest moves we've ever fucking seen before. He may be out there like, okay, have you ever seen those YouTube videos of that guy that dresses up in like the skin tight horse outfits and then goes to like public park and just like,
they're all I watch.
Just gets it. You know who I'm talking about though, right? No bullshit.
Fuck yeah, dare you?
This fucking guy. But imagine that moves like Usher. Like, mm-hmm. how are you not supposed to get lubed up over that? That's yep. that fucking would get anyone's noodle going.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I'm completely with you on this front, Griffin.
I think that there is a principal alive who would allow that, though. what do you want? A skin tight rubber horse outfit, and you want to fake jerk off? I don't know, mm-hmm. but okay, if it'll help win games. If it'll put butts in the seats.
Butts in seats.
Man, 21 Jump Street 2 is really messed up.
Yeah.
Hey, here's another question. I recently broke up with my long-term, long-distance girlfriend. There doesn't seem to be any lingering feelings between us, which is good. However, for the extent of our relationship, she was better employed than I was and bankrolled many of our visits. I recently became gainfully employed, and now I feel I should repay her for months of being a broke bum somehow. Is there a tactful, mature way to do this without sending the wrong signals? That's from newly employed in New York.
I mean, honest answer? Yeah, just, like, do it. Well, I mean, say, like, hey, Susan, I, you know, got this new job, and I'm feeling like maybe I should pay you back for all the times Absolutely. That you covered my God. Ticket to come visit you. And here's the thing. Well, she's going to say no.
Ignore the things that this is a secret. This is a secret B-side track. Don't do what Travis is saying.
This is...
What?
Travis, no.
Why is that not the right thing to do?
Okay. Because, Travis, you don't do reparations for an ex. You don't do it. You don't do it. It doesn't work. She would rather just not... I would pay however much money this person is thinking about giving me to not have to enter into this scenario.
This conversation. You could be spared this conversation. If you... I mean, they didn't... They didn't pay for you guys to visit each other with any expectation of a return on that investment.
Okay, so, okay, there's the twist. If in the original discussion...
Okay.
She said something like... And she was like, I want you to come visit me. And you said, I can't really afford that right now. Maybe we can set something up soon. And she said, don't worry, I'll cover it, and you can pay me back. Then I think that door is open.
Okay, if it was a loan, if it was clearly put forth as a loan, I think that that's one thing. But, like, nobody wants to – I mean, this is just the cost of doing business. Like, this is the cost of being in a relationship. No one gets their money back.
Now, I would love that. If it was sure. like when you break up, you're like, okay, so I did keep track of how often I paid for dinner and you paid for dinner, and it does work out, so you owe me like $15.
There's a slight imbalance, and I do need $15 from you.
I just need to get it to zero. You know, it's a fiscal thing.
It's my account. My board is on my board. Wants
to you forget see about it. You forget about that shit, and the first time you go to secure a home loan, they're like, mm-hmm. ooh, it looks like you still owe your ex-girlfriend from high school $15, so your credit is just in the pooper. Because right. with the juice, that's now up to $15,000.
Sorry, Griffin, what was that?
The juice.
Okay. So I think step one is fire your anti-Semitic accountant. That's
no,
step
not,
one.
Not the Jews. The juice.
Okay. I'm with you.
Because of the Jews, you owe your girlfriend $15,000.
There is no...
God's chosen people must be patoot.
There is no lower form of comedy than, hey, that sounds like Jews. That, there isn't. There isn't. Okay, it's, but that falls...
here's my B-side to the point you're making.
Okay.
It, isn't it?
Hey, I like Tom, I really, I, you know, I think I'm ready to forgive Tom Cruise. Did you say Tom Jews? That's my impression of you all day.
Okay. That was a good impression. I think you got me on that one. I thank you for not making me sound as nasal as I am. I appreciate you adding some baritone. Here's a good metric for if you should do something. Talk to everyone you know and see if anyone has ever heard of the thing you're talking about. Because if not, it is safe to assume that society as a whole has tried it out and there were some unforeseen consequences. You just have to trust that people have thought of this before and it didn't work out if you can't find anyone who has been in a similar scenario. The other thing is, I'm of the opinion that once you break up with somebody, the only sane thing to do is to put them in a mine rocket and shoot them into the sun. Like, as far as you're concerned, as far as you're concerned, who? Mm-hmm. Visited where? Paid for what?
What is money?
What is money?
Who am I? How did I get here? Why is there blood everywhere?
John G. raped and murdered my wife? What are you even saying?
Call the fixer.
Call the fixer. I got a body here. Don't do that. There was no, if she was asking you about it, I think that would be one thing. But like, I think that could, you run a genuine risk of that coming off as very hurtful. I mean, when you were together, it was worth that money to spend time with you. And like, I don't think the relationship ending should or would negate that. I mean, also, if you guys had invested in a thing together, that's one thing. But this is just time.
To go a bit deeper with our diagnosis, is it possible? And there's nothing wrong with this impulse, but is it possible that because you were, as you said, a broke bum while you were dating, and now that you are not dating, you kind of want to show her, without malice or intent, that you've kind of gotten your shit together because now you have the money that you did not have while you were dating. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it sounds like this might be a bit more about assuaging your guilt than to set it right.
I'm not even talking about guilt. I'm talking about it, either like you may have some deep, dark desire to get back with her, or not even that, just to show...
It may also just be a message of like, hey, I'm doing okay.
Yeah, like, I am doing better than I was doing when we were dating, which I really... as long as you're not a dick about it, like, I don't think there's anything particularly wrong with that, but I think that might be what you are also doing by saying, here, let me give you some money. Here, have this money.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Hey, that's another great test. Say the phrase, hey, let me give you some money, and see if it doesn't make you feel like you're paying a prostitute.
Yeah. Say, listen, I left money for gas on the dresser.
Right.
How does that make you feel?
Maybe it's oversimplifying it, but I feel like if you say, here's some money for the time that we loved each other, like...
here's some money for the time that we loved each other.
Thank you.
Is that not it?
Thank you, Travis, for the love acts. Here
is the
money.
Can you please go back in time and tell Travis from 4 minutes ago this axiom, this wisdom you've somehow gleaned?
Yeah, listen, sometimes the people that learn the most is me.
Speaking of money for love acts, do you guys want to go to the money zone?
Oh, you're trying to stop me. Dana Ray Poling.
Yes, I do.
Shit, really?
Yeah.
What do you?
He lives next door to me.
What do you know about him?
Well, I know that he has two best chippies, Jordan and Joe.
Okay.
And it also is important to note that all three of them are dudes, even though two of them have lady names.
Jordan's not.
Jordan. I mean, Jordan's like an ambiguous lady name.
Yeah.
What about Joe? Joey Potter? Anyone? Anyone know about, ever heard of Joey Potter? Anyone?
Did you finish it, by the way, Griffin?
Not yet. I fucking stalled out on that last season. It gets so bad.
Close.
Yeah.
Can we go back? Hey, guys.
It's your Travis. Tell us about Dana.
Yeah. Well, basically, Dana grew up on a bird farm where they would plant birds in the ground, I think. And he is supremely aware of making love to a goose. that's not what the sentence says.
But we read between the lines.
I love it. You chopped and screwed their intent.
It says, Dana is supremely aware of what you mean by love goose, which I can only mean, he's taking a bird lover.
Mm. I should also mention before we go too much further, happy birthday, Dana.
Oh, yeah, that's you.
What a great dude you are.
He loves video games and bargain hunting for collectibles, preferably. Chairs, life hacking, and goose fucking.
Happy birthday, Dana. And we're sorry.
We're so, so sorry. Folks, support for My Brother and Me comes from Audible.com, a provider of digital audiobooks and more. If you want to listen to it, Audible has it. With more than 100,000 downloadable titles, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals, you will find what you are looking for. My Brother and Me listeners might enjoy Packing for Mars by friend of the family, Mary Roach.
Ooh, for I like free, that.
We're tight. We're bros.
I know, but I thought you were going to say friend of the show. I like friend of the family
She's
better.
She's a friend of our family. I mean, our show is our family. For a free audiobook of your choice and a free 30-day trial membership, go to audiblepodcast.com/mybrother. That's audiblepodcast.com/, all one word, my brother. So do that and let them know of our power.
But it's hard.
Is it?
When you, with a book, to, hold on, I can do this.
Get it.
If it was a real book that Audible gave you, like physical, you shouldn't put your dick inside between the pages and shut the book and then try to fuck that, because it would not feel great.
But because it's an audiobook, that's cool?
No, I was just trying to transition into extreme restraints.
Sometimes I listen to the Audible reading of Huck Finn and I just jerk it.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're not going to do this to our friends at Audible.com. Okay, but what I will say is extremestraints.com is my choice for things to fuck with.
Things to fuck with, fuck on.
Fuck on, fuck near.
Fuck up, fuck about. Fuck down. fuck side to side.
Fuck adjacent to.
Whatever, man.
Whatever you
want
to do.
Fuck any preposition you want.
So
doing the electric slide.
So we just got it.
Now Charlie Brown. Fuck.
Guys, Extreme Restraints is your premium online
Everybody
vendor.
Everybody fuck your hands. Go on.
Extreme Restraints is your premium online vendor for marital aids. They have all kinds of things you can fuck, things to help you fuck. You got to get on it. If you use the coupon code SEXYGARFIELD, we had to change it off of Midlist. It is now Sexy Garfield. You can save 20% off of your order. So get in there, lube it. You're going to just love shoving these things in you.
Yep. You're going to find so much room you didn't even know you had.
This is so – they are a small company based in Huntington Beach. They love our show, and we love them. They've been a long time – they have – think about this for a second. ExtremeStrikes.com has supported this program – more than anyone you know, more than anybody on earth,
like
ExtremeStraints.com has made this show possible. I just found out, very excited, that they're going to be sending us a box of some samples. So I was curious.
Have you guys decided what you're gonna?
I'm thinking just grab bag. Just tell me, just surprise me.
Now be careful with the grab bag. It is more painful than it sounds.
Mm-hmm. I've ordered a ganja bar. I'm just gonna see how that works out.
Bar for your dick. It's a pain box that you lower your balls into. Fear is the mind killer.
I must not be a fear. Oh god, my balls.
ExtremeStreets.com is obsessed with finding the one object that will cause you genital pain, but no pleasure to anyone. So far, they have not managed. If you envision the site as that ongoing experiment, just the flotsam and jetsam from one man's quest to find something that will hurt your dick but won't turn you on.
Their newest addition is the puzzle box from Hellraiser. Just have demons just tear your dick and body into shreds.
He thought he had
shreds.
A winner, and then some weirdo in Des Moines was like, "Yes, mama, do likey." So it's for sale now. You can buy it because he hates it so much. There's only one of everything. That's not true.
None of the things we've said for the past minute are true, but here's what is true. You got to fuck, and it's going to make it better. ExtremeRestraints.org.
Use the coupon code SEXYGARFIELD, all one word, for 20% off.
It's a .com. I fucked up.
It's disappointing. It's upsettingly discreet, I would say, because I really want... I don't give a fuck.
I want the neighbors to be like, oh, they're fucking right.
Yeah.
Look at them. They got a dildo-shaped box.
Hi, this is Biz.
And I'm Teresa.
And we host a new show about the epic fails and genius moments of being a mom.
How do you take care of a baby and still find time to moisturize your tattoos? Join us every week to find out.
And remember, you don't have to be a bad mom to be one bad mother.
Subscribe for free on iTunes or go to MaximumFun.org.
I'm pretty staunchly opposed to piracy, but one of my close friends uses this as his number one avenue for accessing his movies and music. He often enters into conversations with me about why he thinks piracy is right and offers completely unjustified reasons for his standpoint. In favor of not getting into an argument over something so trivial, I tend to just end the conversation as soon as possible, but I feel this leaves him thinking he has the upper hand, and he is on occasion feels free to remind me I couldn't come back with a better argument, and he is right. Is it better to just take his banal arguments, or should I make my stand in hopes of ending his prattling on? And that's from Sincerely Plundered in San Jose.
I am sick of this discussion. Piracy is evil. They make people walk the plank. They take people's booty.
Yeah.
They're sinking ships all over the Spanish Main. Mm-hmm. And I am sick of it.
My dad, my father, made gold doubloons for 30 years in his workshop.
You're taking food out of his children, his knees, mouth.
I think there's an alternate solution to this problem, and that is to call the cops on your shitty friend and get him thrown in jail.
Oh, is there God. A hotline? Is there like, is there something I can do? Be like, hey, my friend got that Hobbit movie on the DL. Please take him away.
Here's a good idea.
If you lured your friend into an argument and you get him to detail all of his piracy, and then at the end you're like, I guess you're right, and then you pull out a micro recorder and you pull up the flower on your jacket, the comically large flower that turns out was a microphone the whole time. You've been The Wired.
You got me again, Bobby.
That's all that the show The Wire is, by the way. If you haven't seen The Wire, it's just about a man hiding a wire on his body and being like, so you stole those bowling shoes from the alley, huh? Yeah, I did. What's it to you? It's not to me, but tell to the judge. And he pulls his shirt
SWAT
off.
SWAT team. And the best part is that man is in no way affiliated with any kind of law enforcement.
And
he's just like a freelance wire.
Runner. Every week he hides the wire in a different place. So like he takes off.
And it's up to you to find it out.
He takes off his Jamiroquai hat and there's...
There's a tiny stenographer under there.
No, you know that under Jamiroquai's has a smaller hat. Yeah. God, what a great gag. I bet he starts every concert that way. Hold on, let me get more comfortable.
What does he sound like that?
I don't know.
Why is he eating a mouthful of cheese?
I don't know if he's British or Jamaican or a mouse. So I made it all of them combined.
Man, I don't... it's hard to have a conversation with anybody about piracy ever. Because there's a lot of companies that really have it coming to them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, corpse.
But at the same time, like, I haven't pirated music since I was in college, I think. And that's just, like, I don't want to get holier than thou, because really, if it wasn't for Spotify, who knows? Like, who knows where I would have landed.
But that's a great point. Like, there are companies out there, like Spotify and... Now I've forgotten the other ones. What's the other ones? Where you can get the music from them.
Those, like those catalogs that you get in the magazine and you get 6 free CDs and then you have to like sell them to your friends.
Oh, you fucking know what I'm talking about. Don't be a dick. Come on.
There's a my neighbor Suzanne. She just sings a lot. She sings while she gardens. It's really nice.
Anyways, but there are things out there that will give you.
Sometimes a car drives down the street and they've got their radio turned up really loud, so you get like.
No, look, it's on my phone.
You get like a few free. Sometimes you can just like whistle yourself a tune, and that's free music. So
maybe you make your own music.
Listen to this. It's a free song for you guys. It's called
TM,
Claps.
TM.
Do not redistribute it.
Can I say I think that this argument is probably the most boring one you can have, and I've fallen into it 150,000 times. Here's here's the only thing you can say, right? Yeah, I've done it too, because everybody has in their entire life. Please don't say you haven't. But I try not to because I don't think it's right. It's just a personal thing. You don't have to convert anyone to believe anything. Trust me, the problem doesn't get any better at all if you convince this person that it's stealing. If they can't
you set up a Christmas Carol type situation with musicians and movie stars from the past, present, and future to sit there and come to your friend at night and tell him what a D-bag.
Hey, I'm Moby. I came to talk to you about some of your habits.
Come with me. This is my car that I have to drive now because you stole all my music and I can't afford a better car than this. I live in it. Hey, I'm Moby. I live in my car and I can't stop crying.
Hey, it's me, Bill Paxton. Remember when I was in Big Love? You just torrented at all of it. Now I live in Moby's car. Hold on, let me open the trunk. Hi, I'm Bill Pullman. Lots of people will confuse me with Bill Paxton. That never happened before piracy.
Please help. Please let me out. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I look like you. Please let me out.
There can be only one. Close.
Please let me out of Moby's trunk. I don't think I would pirate anymore.
Oh, right? I think I would seek help.
No, I think I have some other issues to work out. Who cares? Who gives a shit? It's not worth it. It's like your dorm is Twitter. Like, just quit it. No one gives a crap.
I will say I had a roommate, and I'm not going to name names, Jacob Dunkel. it slipped out. Dunkel, I'm sorry.
Let's say Jacob Dunkel.
Dunkel, I'm sorry to keep putting you on blast, but...
Dunkel lives in the same town as me. Griffin has moved. And whenever I see Dunkel, that's all he'll say. Why do you keep putting me on blast?
Dunkel, I'm sorry to keep putting you on blast.
I felt like youthful indiscretions were safe in the annals of time.
Dunkel's just trying to stay under the radar. I can't go back to prison.
Dunkel's not going back to prison.
Dunkel got hit up
by the... He won't survive another stretch.
Dunkel got hit up by whatever that anti-piracy thing is, who went and did all the suing of all the college students. Gave him a formal warning for downloading feature films. In their defense, he pirated more shit than any other 10 people I know combined. But he got hit up because he downloaded, I think it was like Mulholland Drive or something. He got dinged. He got dinged by the Motion Picture Association of America. So like it does happen.
They'll keep an eye on it.
I hope Dunkel's
not... Is he one of those
guys
that just torrented things because they were there? Like, he might want to watch them someday.
Why do you have Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants 2 in Spanish? I don't know. I have a real problem.
It's only half of it. And it's homemade. Somebody did a shot-for-shot homemade, like in Be Kind Rewind, which I also pirated in Dutch.
This is a Sweden version of Sisterhood. That's what we fans call it.
I hope he's okay. I hope he didn't. I hope he's not incarcerated. I hope they didn't get him.
I just saw him. He's not Max and Irma's.
He's not on the inside?
He's fine. Okay. He's on the inside of Max and Irma's. Probably not still, but he was then. Griffin, I need a Yahoo.
Here's a Yahoo answer sent in by... oh, God. All of them are Ira Ray.
Come on, Ira Ray. You're the best.
It's by Yahoo answer. Somebody is listening
somebody
to the show.
Somebody tweeted the other day asking if we just use his questions so we could do the theme song.
No, we keep, like, I don't want to discourage everybody else who's sending in questions because, like, they're all great and I appreciate it. And, like, I read everyone that people send in a week. And I do not mean to put you all down, but IRAs are just, they're superb. They're so good. IRA, thank you. It's by Yahoo Answers User ? Who asks, did the popularity of the Karate Kid basically ruin the effectiveness of the crane kick? Since now everyone will know what's coming when you get in the crane kick position and the element of surprise is gone, has the crane kick become an extinct move? Do martial arts experts not like the Karate Kid for ruining the crane kick in the way magicians don't like other magicians who reveal their secrets? So by this person's logic, if anyone has ever done the crane kick once...
Publicly.
It's, well, not even that, because the person who receives, who's on the receiving end of the kick, they tell two friends, and then they too tell two friends, and pretty sure soon, it's, you know, the fucking T-Fury's printing on T-shirts. Like,
all right. I bet it's more of a thing, like, when somebody gets in the crane kick position at a meet or competition or whatever, the judges just, like, roll their eyes.
Fuck you. If I was the judge of a martial arts contest and I saw somebody get in the crane kick competition, I would be the most excited for anything I've ever been in the fullness of my
life. The better question is, how sick do you think officials are at those meets of people yelling, sweep the leg!
Like, literally every time,
It has to be, right?
3 minutes. Has to be.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome... First and foremost, we ask you, please don't yell, sweep the leg.
We get it.
We have all, in fact, seen Karate Kid. You are very funny. Please do not say sweep the leg.
Also, not allowed. Put him in a body bag. That is done.
Cobra Kai Never Die is out.
Also, later on this evening, we do have a roller derby bout happening here. They have asked that you not shout whip it. Everybody.
Thank you.
Please, thank you.
I'm JB Miller.
I'm Huntington Radio Personality and deep in-joke J.B. Miller.
God, fuck you guys.
So a little.
I'm Huntington Wall of Famer, J.B. Miller.
And now a little reference for no one, J.B. Miller.
So let's...
J.B. Miller is awesome, by the way. He's a good dude.
Great.
He's just fun to impersonate him.
He just has a great radio voice.
Just Google him.
Listen.
Come on, people. Hashtag J.B. Miller.
You get in a fight with someone at a bar. We'll call this someone J.B. Miller, for all intents and purposes.
When you meet hero to millions, J.B.
Miller arcs one of his legs up, bends his knee upwards, lifts that leg up while the other leg is planted firmly on the ground, slightly bent, and puts his two arms up as if he is flapping his arms like a bird. If you have not seen and are not even aware of the Karate Kid, I still think you can assume, like, oh, that kick is coming. Like, that physical...
I should lean slightly back.
Like, you have exposed yourself in a way and prevented one of your legs from moving in a way that the only thing that can mean is that the other leg's coming up facewards.
You know, it'd be great. I think that if somebody did that to me in a bar, yes, my first thought would be to, like, just punch them. Because they've left themselves very vulnerable
or,
and open.
Alternatively, just push them gently and they'll fall right over.
But I'm going to be honest, I would let it happen just to see how they did it. Because there's got to be like 90% of people that do that have to be like, don't worry, I saw this on Karate Kid. Mm-hmm. Right? And then they're going to do it and just fall on their fucking faces.
Yeah.
But there's going to be 10% of people that are just going
to It would be worth it to take that kick just to see this bad boy unfold.
I'm just saying, like, it'd be you're, like, on the ground and your nose bleeding. Someone's like, oh, what happened? You're like, that guy just fucking crane kicked me.
To know that.
And he nailed it.
Even if that person, like, said some really racist shit and, like, you know, poured an entire beer on your friend or girlfriend and, like, it was a total jerk and, you know, you desperately wanted to fight him. I would let that happen just so that he can have that story. Mm-hmm. The chance to give somebody a gift that magical, it never comes along. And to just like, I would lay on the ground and he would bend over and be like, thank you. And I'd be like, pay it forward.
Grandson, granddaughter, come here. Allow Papa to tell you of the time he gave the greatest gift.
Kick it forward. you have to let three other people crane kick you in the face. It is not a very good.
And now let me die peacefully.
The conversion rate is not very good. I know.
What if the guy who originally crane kicked him came back, like, at the end of Les Miserables when he's on his deathbed? He's going to kick you into infinity now. I thought you'd forgotten about me.
I never forgot.
The secret was it was the best moment of my life, too. And I'm going to die also, but I want to die.
And then they kick each other, and it's like perfectly timed, so they both go flying back, it's and like, they freeze in midair, and their outlines form a heart.
It's like the end of D3. And they just crank kick each other, freeze frame. A Steven Soderbergh film, the end, D4. Box office smash. I wish I'd been there the first time that somebody was crane kicking somebody. When that prior art in the crane kicking case was created, because I would imagine that probably looked ridiculous, because the implication of the crane kick is that I can't stand on one leg without falling over unless I am balancing with my hands. So it seems to me you could do a crane kick.
Well, I don't think that's actually it. I don't think it has anything to do with physics. I think it has something to do with birds with large wingspans are terrifying. How about?
Because here's the thing. Like, I think that if you're the opponent and you see that happen, you're like, whoa. Where'd Daniel-san go? Suddenly there's a bird here, and then you're kicked.
Yeah. You see a flamingo, and you're like, big fucking deal. Skinny ass legs. It's pink. This is no trouble at all. I can fucking wreck this bird. They get those wings out, and you're like, nope. Out.
Now, Griffin, you know it's not called the flamingo kick, right?
No.
Like, you could have said crane.
But I am talking about another large, goofy-ass-looking bird of prey.
And then he did the heron kick.
Wanted to go with ostriches, but ostriches are objectively terrifying.
Mm-hmm. Well, they have judgmental faces.
Yeah. Well, that's not why. I was more talking about the fact that they have fucking velociraptor talons. But, yeah, I guess that also doesn't help.
This is a two-part question, okay? And I put them together because I wanted to close on this very important point that we apparently have not made yet. And I wanted one last chance to make it. Here's the first question. I'm a mid-20s guy who lives in a suburban area, and I have trouble meeting women my age around here. However, there's one girl who lives nearby who seems like she could be really cool. Her sister and brother-in-law are good friends of mine, and I met her through them. The problem is I only met her once a while ago. And aside from recently becoming Facebook friends and exchanging the occasional like or comment, have hardly interacted with her since. My question is this. How can I find some way to hang out with her again? I don't know her well enough to ask her out, but I'd like to get to know her in a more casual setting. My friends rarely come to the area, and when they do, they usually just hang out with her and her family, not me. What's a creative, non-creepy way to cross paths with her again, see if she's cool as I hope she is? That's from Hangout Hopeful. Here's another question.
Okay.
Next weekend, I'll be going to an event with some friends. That should be totally awesome. But I've just been informed that by a mutual friend that one of the people I'll be rooming with is secretly pining for me and thinks I feel the same. I like spending time with him, but I don't have any romantic feelings, and I don't want to give him the wrong idea. Should I give him a heads up and risk making him really uncomfortable, or should I wait to see if he brings up the topic on his own? And that's from Perplexed Pax Goer.
Is it, what are we doing both of these together because they both represent opposite ends of?
When I read these two actually like in sequence, Travis, I happen to star them, and they're of course not related. Obviously, these people are not the same people. They're not regarding the same problem. But we used to hit on this a lot during the show, and I really want to circle back around to it. Jokes aside. And really try to hit this home, okay? This conniving and the strategies and the...
Oh, yeah.
And the, like, trying to make... You guys are fate. You have a name. You're Facebook friends. You've liked each other's... Just ask her, dummy. Just say, do you want to go out sometime? And stop wasting your life minutes trying to come up with a way to make yourself more comfortable with that, because that's all you're really doing. I mean,
well, yeah, what you're doing is you're trying to recreate like a romantic comedy moment,
right?
Like,
exactly.
Oh, hey, didn't expect you to be at the driving range.
We didn't have a meet cute, so now I want to try to create one. When, like, if you've here's the question that I don't think people are amazing and they're worthwhile, and I think everybody listening to the show right now is worthwhile. You're cool and funny and worth.
You have great taste.
You have great taste in podcast.
Got and fucking your sexy body.
You oh fucking, God. Especially
look
since
at you in that
gym,
Mustang costume.
Cutting down carbs. You're great. if you could develop feelings for this person, even sort of the first inkling, the first spark of feelings, why do you make the assumption that there's no way this person could be thinking the same? You know,
and,
why?
And simultaneously, if you're wanting to get to know them, the way that you do that is by asking them out and spending time with them. Like, there's no time clock that you got to punch and get, like, 10 hours credit before you can ask.
Let me tell everybody where we are as a civilization. This is where we are. Where I feel like for a good long while there, like, back in the you know, soda shop days, the custom was, hey, I met you and I liked you, and this is crazy, but here's my number. So call me.
Call me maybe.
No, it was, I met you, I found you interesting, let's spend more time together to get to know each other, and then maybe we can procreate by the time we're 17. And that became such, that was the norm, and then all of a sudden, it wasn't anymore, and it did become about this conniving and trying to find ways and trying to be too cool for school and trying to sneak your way into love. And now I feel like the people who can fucking get up the courage to say, hey, I think you're interesting, I want to get to know you better, let's go on a date, like, that has come back into fashion now. And like, if you can pull that move off, it doesn't matter if they say yes or no, they're gonna think you're fucking cool.
Well, I know dudes like my friend John Scheller is one of the smoothest guys, and I really think the whole trick to that is that he just says what he's thinking to women.
It doesn't,
and he's a very nice, confident, good-looking guy who just like rolls up and he's like, "Hey, how's it going?" Like, there's no pretense or subtext.
I don't even think it has anything to do with charm or intellect or anything. It is just having that fraction of courage required to say, "I think you're interesting, and I want to get to know you better." Literally,
what I'm saying is that is what comes across as charm.
It's not,
he's
though.
Like having that courage. But I'm saying that if you have that courage and you're confident and you can do it, that comes across as being one of the charming guys.
If you try to fucking sneak it in sideways, though, you're gonna come off as a creep.
You're gonna be arrested.
Well, no. You know what I mean? You know, like.
No, you're absolutely right. Imagine you're a car dealership, okay? You are a used car. Right?
And that is not a great analogy.
Just hang with me, okay? If you show up and the car salesman, you see a car like over in the corner, and the car salesman's like, "I can't show you that one. I don't think you're ready to like it yet. I have to ply you a bit." What kind of vibe are you going to get about that car? The answer is not a good vibe. But if as soon as you show up at the dealership, the guy's like, "Never mind. You know what? I have the car for you. This is a great car. You're going to love this car." That's confidence, and that's appealing. That we like that. We like to think that anybody else knows what the fuck they're doing, because we certainly do not. Confidence, that's all confidence is holding up your end of the social bargain to pretend like you know what's going on, because none of us do.
I'm saying that's right. It is so uncommon to be straightforward with somebody when it comes to dating. It's so rare that when you pull it off, it's like seeing a fucking unicorn. It's like, holy shit, like, I don't know how I feel about you, but yeah, sure. I got asked on a date. Can you fucking believe it? And he didn't
and
do it.
He
didn't do it on a text message. Can you fucking believe it?
And the crazy thing about it is, like, it's also doesn't have to mean, like, coming across as desperate or doing that. Like, I think that's what people are afraid they will seem like. If they're just like, "Hey, you're pretty." You know what I mean? But, like, just do it.
You don't say, "Hey, you're pretty," or, "Hey, the shampoo you use smells good." You say, "Hey, I think you're interesting and I want to get to know you better. Do you want to hang out sometime?"
Never start a sentence with, "You probably get this a lot, but..."
Don't say that. No, nope. Don't say, "I know I don't look like much." Don't.
Uh-huh. Nope. "I know we just met."
No.
Or, "I don't want to seem creepy, but I don't want to..." Nope. Stop doing that. Don't apologize for yourself. Don't make excuses for yourself.
"I know I have a half-formed vestigial twin hanging off of my neck, but..."
You just don't even acknowledge it. Let them bring it up. Let them
If you have a half-formed vestigial twin on your neck that can talk... If you still straightforwardly ask somebody out, they're going to say yes.
And then take a drink of water while your twin sings, Moon River.
You
Okay, so you. But listen, we've been paying a lot of attention to the first half of the question, though.
No, but this is what I'm saying is the two are connected because
the second one doesn't want to go out.
The one breeds the situation, though. What I'm saying is it makes the first
it's cause and effect.
The first breeds a second situation where you're actively making the person uncomfortable. It's bad for both parties to create this, create this weird pre-dating phase that, like, just ask, and if it doesn't work out, cool. Maybe you can be friends afterwards, and you don't have to spend another night thinking about it. Here's the secret. You want to I'm gonna let you guys hear that book, The Secret. Mm-hmm. Of course you did, but you didn't read it. So I'm gonna tell you what the secret is. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
No matter what you look like,
Bruce Willis is dead at the end.
No matter what you look like, and no matter what the person doing the asking looks like, getting ass out on a date makes you horny. I do not care. This is irrefutable. Fucking irrefutable. God. When you get ass out on a date, it makes you horny because you think, oh, I can have sex with this person, maybe. It doesn't matter who you are or what you look like or any of it. Getting ass on a date makes you feel good and usually horny.
Well, don't backpedal because you just made it sound like 100% of the time.
It always makes you horny, always. So if you can go to someone and you say, hey, do you want to go out on a date? They may say no.
But they will also say thank you for making me horny. I'm gonna go use this on someone else.
I'm gonna store this up, cash it in later with my husband.
I'm gonna bank thank it. You. I'm gonna ask my husband.
And
I just want
and short answer to the person in the perplexed Pax goer. I don't think you have to bring it up as long as you have not done anything that is misleading.
Yeah.
If this dude has feelings,
be straightforward with them, though, just as a courtesy. Like, you don't want him spending the entire trip, like, trying to...
Yeah, but I also don't know how you bring that up. If you're like, hey, Dave, just so you know, before we get on this road trip, I don't have feelings for you. All right, pack it up, everybody. Let's roll out.
Did you get the Cheetos? You got the Cheetos. Cool, we're good to roll. You want to sit in the back with me? Nope. You're crying. Fuck.
The best thing you can give somebody is your time. And by asking someone out on a date, you say to them, I think there's a chance you could be the person I want to give all my time to. I don't care what you look like or if you're a dirtbag or any of it. That's a nice thing to say to somebody. Even if nothing ever comes of it, okay? Nothing ever comes of it. You have still done something nice for them and made yourself a bit more confident and a bit more used to getting, you know, if you are rejected, and you know what, if you are rejected, it's based on nothing because the person doesn't know you, so it's nothing to feel bad about. If you say mooch a bunch of a girl's money off of her so you can keep visiting her, and then you leave her and don't give her
because you
money
really
back,
like traveling to New York City,
you love to go to
like
New
that's
York,
your business.
That's your business. No, that it's a great thing to ask somebody out. It's nice and it's not weird, and it's how society has operated for so long. Don't make it into a big thing. Don't like...
That's what I'm saying. You got to cool hand Luke it. Because your friends, if you ask out somebody that your friends know, they're going to make both of you try and feel weird about it because people are fucking dicks. Mm-hmm. And you just got to be like, I don't, man, just calm down. You know, we're just hanging out and just spend some time together to just see if we are simpatico. And if you could say it in that kind of tone, and when you say it, like lower your sunglasses down your face... Then
let me do this other favor for you. If you say, do you want to go out sometime? And the person says, I don't know, let me think about it. You rescind that offer so fast that you do not have time to even let the, like, they don't even finish the sentence. You
listen, as long as we're making fast, big broad strokes, I'm going to throw this out to you because get this question once a week.
I'm worried.
If you schedule a date with someone and then they tell you, oh, no, like call you 30 minutes beforehand. And they're like, no, it turns out that I got to get a wisdom tooth out at 9 p.m. or whatever. Can we reschedule it? And then they reschedule it and then they cancel on you again.
No, don't even do the second one.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Don't even do that. If they can't suffer a rotten lightning pain in their mouth to spend time with you, then if they love you, they set you free, and then you run away, and that's how they know they fucked up, is how I
Well, it's people's misguided attempt to try to, like, let you down easy by stringing you along. It's fucking bullshit. if they wanted to go out with you, they would find the time to.
People say dating.
Please stop asking me that
question.
People
say dating is so hard, and it's not. It's the shit that happens right before the dating starts that sucks. Mm-hmm. So everything that you do to prolong that shittiness is not a favor.
Yeah. So let me say this to the other side. If somebody asks you out and you don't want to go out with them, please say like, oh, no, thank you, but I'd rather not.
Booyah.
I mean, you don't necessarily need to.
No, sorry, sorry,
like,
sorry.
They're
sorry.
Offering you an hors d'oeuvre.
You have to say booyah.
I just ask. If you get rejected, that's fine. The 100th time you get rejected, you're not even going to feel it. And then you'll be that cool guy that gets dates all the time.
But if you're not asking, if you're not, like, I some dude I know, like, a couple months ago said to me, like, I can't seem to stay with a girl. I can't find the one. I can't, all these relationships end. And it's like, yeah, because they will until they don't anymore. And then you marry that person. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not this magical thing where, like, oh, I bumped into this girl on the subway. Married, right? Like,
sorry, Jeff, can you walk me through that again?
I ran into a girl on the subway. I think my reaction was she fell on the tracks.
Oh my God, someone help her. That's my wife.
I ran into her on the subway. I bumped her off the platform.
That's my future wife down there.
That's somebody my... call a fixer. There's blood everywhere. Hey, you are a really attractive ambulance driver. Mary.
While you were sleeping, too. While you were dead.
While you were in many pieces on the track.
That's how you turn a meat cute into cute meat.
Let's shut it down.
This has been our comedy podcast, my brother, and me. It's an advice show for the modern era that only occasionally gets a little preachy. I hope you've had as much fun as we have. Thank you to those tweeting about the show. Chris Daly, our dad. Hannah Eli, Majin Johnny, Fred Wood, Hannah Eli again, Jason Kirk, of course, Joshua C.W. King, John S., John Gruber, lots of Johns, Jen Villarosa, not a John. Thank you to everybody tweeting about the show. If you are going to tweet about it, maybe include a link to our sampler. It's bit.ly/ it's my bim bam.
I want to thank John Rontrick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song, It's a Departure, off the album Putting the Days to Bed, which has so many good tracks on it. Hindsight, Seven.
Yeah.
Download the fucking thing.
I want to encourage, don't pirate it. I want to encourage you all to go check out all the other MaxFun.org podcasts. Just go to MaximumFun.org. There's, at this point, too many to mention. I think we have like 60 or 70 different podcasts on our network at this point. But do check out the forums. And, you know, every week when we post a show, there is a forum thread created. Make sure you pop on there and kind of give us your 2 cents.
Yeah, or your 10 cents or $10. Speaking of, it's that time of year again. The 2013 Max Fun Drive is just around the corner. Maybe you're already a devoted monthly member of Maximum Fun. Maybe you're a virgin. And maybe, maybe you've never donated to Maximum Fun before. Either way, starting April 1st, we're going to be running some of our best content of the year, us and every other show on Maximum Fun, doing awesome giveaways with stuff like thank you gifts and packages. Some of the sponsors for the gifts this year are fucking out of control. We mentioned that Extreme Restraints is up in it. So, like, I'm still not exactly sure what they're giving away, but if it's, like, a Maximum Fun-themed dildo, like, maybe it's the Max mm-hmm. Fun rocket ship, but you put it in your butt, and then you blast off into space with it, pleasure space, then you gotta donate, and you can get on that stuff. And all that stuff helps us, you know, make a little money off of doing the show. It helps us do, like, we bought new mics when we first got on Max Fun. It helps us do stuff like we pay for our travel with live shows, which I know we haven't done in a while. I'm sorry. It's been fucking crazy busy. But
it also feeds my cat.
It feeds Travis's cat. Also we have a bonus episode that we usually have a lot of fun with. So don't miss it. It starts April 1st and it runs for 2 weeks. Tune in, show your support, and catch the best episodes Mabim Bam has to offer.
And if I can add an addendum
there. Yeah, please addendum it.
And it's also very important to me and hopefully my brothers that we just crush all the other podcasts.
We try not
network.
To hit that note too hard, but
I just want to crush them.
We really usually do. But
I want to feel Brian Safi's face below my foot.
Oh, that's awful.
Well, that's no. That's just because that's the only way I can finish.
Oh God! So tune in and hear Travis say things. Pay more money to listen to Travis say more things like that.
To perpetuate Travis saying things like that.
This final Yahoo answer was sent in by Nick Jensen. Thank you, Nick Jensen. It's by Yahoo Answers V, who asks, is it normal that I eat my Hot Pockets in the dark? The only additional details are ham and cheese.
I'm Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been my brother, may kiss your dad.
Square on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.
MaximumFun.org is a co-sponsor of the 5th Annual Women in Comedy Festival happening this weekend in Boston. The festival kicks off Thursday, March 21st with SNL alumni Rachel Dretch and Horatio Sanz performing with other top improvisers from the UCB Theater. For comedy fans, the festival is an incredible opportunity to see some of the best comics working today, not to mention some of my personal favorites like Maria Bamford. For more information and tickets, visit www.womenincomedyfestival.com.